Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining the KevCast. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you're here. Happy Sunday to you. Thanks so much for tuning in and coming back and telling your friends. I am glad that these podcasts are challenging your thinking. They are creating thoughts that are with you throughout the week, and I'm always glad to hear that. Thanks for your feedback that's so positive and encouraging. Tell your friends to sign up and join, and you guys can have great conversations about all kinds of things. And today, we're going to look at our bodies. You know, the title of today's post is called Body and Soul. And I really think there's something here that will empower you and encourage you. And last week, I proved the existence of non-physical reality. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to it. It's really important. It's something that I've said many times on these podcasts, but it's vital to understand that our view of reality has to embrace things that are not physically or empirically measurable. And I use mathematics in that post to prove that such a non-physical reality actually exists and that we depend on it every day. There are countless examples of non-physical reality. And if non-physical reality exists, then so does God. Or the least God is plausible. We'll go that far. How's that? But spirituality is certainly real. And if it's real, there's implications to that reality. And so we're starting there, but we're going to go beyond it. And today we're going to look at body and soul. And for some of you, last week's post was a frame shift in your worldview, but it didn't really change how you live. You see, we all presuppose non-physical reality, even when we insist that empirical things are the only things that are real. You see, each one of us goes back and forth between physical reality and non-physical reality every single day, and we do it without thinking much about it. And that's the premise for body and soul. You see, this week we build on this principle as we look at our amazing bodies. Consciousness is another form of non-physical reality, which is interdependent with the physical reality of our bodies. The body needs consciousness or spirit, or else it's a corpse. Right? Consciousness needs a body, or it's like a radio wave without a transmitter. And here again, non-physical reality or spirituality is presupposed. We just presuppose our consciousness. We just presuppose it. We even try and break it down into just a bunch of chemicals that are crossing our neurotransmitters and that are crossing our synapses. That's part of it, but that's not all that is true about it. You see, the interplay between consciousness or spirit and our bodies has been the focus of all fields of study. You know, I mean, think about it. Mathematics, the sciences, sports, the paranormal, it's all about the integration of the soul and the body. And for many of us, it just barely pings on our radar as we go about our day. It's just way under the surface. We're not thinking about the interplay between non-physical and the physical, between the spirit and the body. And this missing of the interplay is what causes suffering in the world. Now, we're not just a physical being, nor are we a physical being that just has a spiritual capacity. You see, our mortal life is the hybridization of spirit within a body of limitation, so that the two are actually interdependent. The limitations of our bodies are purposed to grow our spirit, and the spirit shapes the works of our body. Human suffering is the breakdown in this interplay. It's vital that we understand this, because it's going to give you a lens into which you can view the world. When the news comes on, when something happens, when you talk to people, when you're at a restaurant, when you're seeing people interact in the world, this lens is going to alter everything for you. The physical lines in our faces, right? The creases that grow over time, they form around our smiles, or they form around our frowns or our squints, which originate in a non-physical reality. The smile lines on my face are the physical manifestation of the spiritual reality of the joy that is constantly on me, or the frown, or the worry, or the squinting, which is skeptical or searching. You see, our bodies move into increasing conformity to the attitudes and the dispositions of our hearts. See, the proximity of our soul to the truth, which is ultimate reality, forms the habits which govern our intentions within our bodies. And so if we're out of shape, if we're unhealthy, it's our body reflecting an attitude, a disposition of the heart, a non-physical reality. It's the function of spirit over time showing up in our bodies. So low awareness or apathy produce poor physical health. Do you see this connection? It's either something you don't know or won't do. It's a truth problem. And so the economic burden to care for the sick is first and foremost, if we reverse engineer it, a spiritual concern. Everything reduces down to spirit, or to the function of the soul within the human life. Our bodies move into conformity to that which is unseen. Now, the limitations of our unique body become the access point for the growth of our soul as well. See, our physical inequality reflects the unique journey of the soul. None of us are on the same path. None of us have the same body. Oh, you might find people with similar structures or forms or height or weight, but none of us are dealing with this exact same thing. And so the uniqueness of our body reflects the individual journey of the soul as well, meaning that some souls must overcome more than other souls. Some souls must deal with certain things that other souls don't deal with, just because of the nature of the body that we inhabit. You see, at a deep level, we all know these things about our lives that we need to change. We know that we need to eat better. We need to exercise. We need to do something, right? We know these things. If we're to improve our lives, at least, we know that. But our struggle is supposed to be hard, not avoided. And so when we decide to forget about the struggle, it's just too hard, and we give up, that is a soul-level decision that impacts our bodies and the world. You see, we're not free to indulge our various appetites at will. As much as we want to think we are, we're not free to do it. Our appetites for sex or power or food cannot simply be indulged at will, no matter how much we want to. The body must be tempered by the soul, or healing will forever escape us. Now, if you question that, go back to parenting. Find the young child who's 2 or 3 and just tell them, I want you to indulge every appetite that comes through your mind and body. If you don't want vegetables, just eat ice cream. If you're mad at your friend, whack them over the head with a toy. If you want to be first, you push others out of the way. And just teach them to follow those appetites and see what kind of person they become. We all know better. We all train our children otherwise. We know that the soul must temper the body. All of religion focuses so deeply on this very reality. And like I said, the struggle is supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be avoided. See, the body has to be tempered by the soul or healing will escape us. And neither, though, should the body be repressed. Which means it doesn't mean you have to avoid enjoying those things that our appetites desire. You see, if we avoid them all, we diminish our humanity. And enjoyments are to be enjoyed. So there's this juxtaposition between the freedom to enjoy the things that we want and the soul's ability to temper them in the right way. That's been the work of religion on the soul for most of our lives. You see, our greatest freedom and our greatest healing will arise when our limited body and our limitless soul join in a perfect design of both. We're both spirit. We're both body and spirit. See, our bodies are the present reminder of just how amazing or how horrible we can become. This hybridization means that we're not a spirit seeking to be free of our bodies, as so often we find in modern religion. You know, it's just a sinful body, this horrible world. If we could just be free and be the disembodied spirit that we are, then everything would be great. It's not true. We can't be a disembodied spirit, and we can't be a body that has no spirit either, as the purely scientific perspective would like us to conclude. You know, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we are an earthen vessel carrying a precious treasure. Right? We are a jar of clay carrying a perfect, precious treasure. This is the balance between the limited and the unlimited, the physical and the non-physical realities. And it shows up in our bodies. And we're not conscious of it, but it's an amazing portal into something beautiful and amazing. And I think this is why I come back again and again to the Christian story. Because in that story, faith is not about evacuating our bodies into some disembodied spiritual experience. If it was, why would God inhabit a body? Right? Faith is about thriving within the confines of struggle and imperfection. And that's why this blog is called Thrive in Exile. Right? It's how to thrive within a context of struggle. It's a design that's so counterintuitive that God took the form of a man and dwelt among us, as it says in John 1:14. This actually elevates humanity and its potential. And now we have an icon for what ultimate humanity looks like. You see, the glorification of our soul is not the evacuation of our humanity. It's the transformation of it. It's the development of it. It's the maximization of our humanity through spirit. And so humanity that is governed by spirit is ultimately compassionate, as we saw in Jesus' story. It understands suffering and heals it. Humanity that's governed by spirit faces the dark impulses and it overcomes them. It stands against systems that oppress humanity and offers a better way. This kind of humanity knows how to free the captive, to open the eyes of the blind, and to bring us good news, like it says in Luke 4:18. It's all around us. We see it everywhere, in every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every lit religion. Right? We see this kind of humanity poking through the many examples of the worst kind of humanity. But that's the design. The worst kind of humanity is simply humanity that's not governed by soul yet. See, our limited bodies teach us to be patient with each other and ourselves. Give yourself a break. Give the other person a break. See, compassion rises when we recognize others as ourselves, not as something other than us. When we recognize that, yeah, though their struggle is different than mine, I know that struggle, because I bear it too. As the soul and the body shape each other, then and only then do we learn to truly love one another. You see, we learn to love ourselves as the body, which is the temple of God, which Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Our bodies are the temple of God. We don't go to a place to find God. We are the place to find God. The mercy seat in the temple and the veil was torn in two, which let God out. And now this temple system is found within us, which means God dwells within me and within you. And we learn to love others as the temple that they are. From here, we can learn everything belongs. There are no dead ends. I know you thought your life was a bunch of detours and derailments, but none of it is true. They're all purposeful to get you to a better humanity. You see, there is only a frail humanity that is striving to find its way in an ever-present beneficent force that, if it's allowed to govern us, it'll heal us. Can you see that? When you walk down the hallway of the airport and you look at all of the people, do you sit there and go, what a bunch of stupid morons who are slow and getting in my way? Or do you say, look at all the broken, frail children who are striving to find their way in the world? You see, the brokenness of our body is an amazing portal. It allows us to see God if we have the eyes to see. The brokenness of our body is the portal of beauty, because the brokenness of our body is the path to new life, if we will accept it.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.